This week's episode is brought to you by thatkevinsmithclub.com. That's right, man. If you can't get enough of the sound of my voice, then you could surf on over to thatkevinsmithclub.com. Join up. What are you waiting for? Join the club.
It's time to babble the fuck on. It's Hollywood Babylon with your hosts, Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman.
That's better. It is Saturday night in Burbank, motherfuckers! Thank God you responded like that. Imagine if I was like, motherfuckers, everyone's like, calm down.
Hey, watch your language.
So let's babble the fuck out. I'm Kevin Smith.
I'm Ralph Garman.
Hey!
Hello.
So fucking delighted to be here, man. I gave 5 hours of my life to fucking a French-Canadian dude, Denis Villeneuve, and I watched Dune Part 1 and Part 2.
Holy shit. Thank you for your service.
Holy shit. A lot of fucking sand, man. I felt like Hayden Christensen. I was like, sand gets everywhere. That is a fucking hell of a... He's a wonderful filmmaker.
Yes.
I've gotten to interview him once or twice, and he's a lovely dude, and always, you know, pretends like I'm a director, too.
That's nice of him.
He's a sweet guy. Not only a good director, good actor. But my God, it's just fucking sumptuous. And I've seen this movie before. I love the David Lynch Dune.
I do too.
So it's not like, you know, I was like, man, there's a fucking hole out there. And when he said that.
There's some big worms out there, aren't there?
A little behind
it's
the
just,
scenes.
It's a filthy, disturbing movie. But it's all we had, when we were kids.
That's
man.
True.
The movie that, like, they asked David Lynch, like, do you want to do Return of the Jedi? And he was like, no, I'll do Dune instead.
Yeah. Give me the one with the guy with the boils all over him. That's the movie I want to direct.
And the big ball, testicle, vagina face, traveler and shit. I've jerked off to that many times.
I'm sure.
But this new one is just fucking wonderful, but long as fuck. Why has everything got to be so long? This movie was like 2 hours, 50 minutes and shit.
Pound for pound,
you're getting your money's worth.
I haven't seen the second one yet, but I made the mistake of seeing number one late in the day.
But yes, you gotta start at 9 a.m.
You really do.
Oh,
you gotta drink a pot of coffee.
Yes.
Get a bump or two and then go into the theater and just energized. Or else you will fade at some point.
It's not that it's like a boring movie or anything like that.
No, it's just
but
fucking
like,
long.
Once you hit hour six, you're like, are they... Have they won yet? Like, this Star War? Wait a second. Like, that's the other thing. The more you watch this shit, the more you realize everybody ripped Frank Herbert off.
Yes.
Like, George Lucas particularly. Holy shit. Can I tell you a story?
Jesus.
This is what,
it almost gave me a heart attack.
I knew something was wrong. I never used this.
No, you don't.
And I was trying to make it work, and I fucking like a seal. So when me and Ralph went on a cruise a couple weeks ago. Who went on cruise askew here?
Did anybody go out there with us?
Fucking three people. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's why the boat stayed afloat. Weren't enough people to weigh it down.
That's right. It was very light.
But we had a great time and shit. I have witnessed one of the most adorable things I've ever seen in my professional career, which was Jason Lee was on the cruise as well. And he saw Ralph. And I think Ralph was like, hey, Jason, had you ever met him before?
No, I never met him.
Jason Lee comes over to me all quiet like, and he goes, do you know that guy? And I was like, does anybody ever really know anybody? I have sat next to him for over 10 years doing a podcast. And he goes, what? What do you mean? I was like, that's Ralph Garman. You've been in movies with him of mine.
Yeah.
I was like, you never had any scenes. He goes, do you know who that is? And I was like, yeah, fucking Ralph Garman, man. And he goes, that's the guy from A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Yeah.
And I was like, he is? He goes, oh my God, one of my favorite lines in movie history is him going to his son, take your hat off, boy, that's a dollar bill.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck he was talking about, but but it was so wonderful to see him like fan out. And I was like, that's Ralph? He's like, yeah. Did he ever get the nuts to come over and be like...
Oh, very much so. We were backstage waiting to go on stage for one of the things. We were doing a script reading or something. And he walked up. He was there with his lovely wife, and I was there with Jennifer. And I said, Jason, we haven't met officially, but you know, I've worked with Kevin a bunch, and we're friends, and I'm a big fan of your work. And his wife said, oh, you don't have to tell him who you are. And I wasn't privy to this information. I was like, oh, fuck, did I upset Jason Lee in some way? Did I do a My Name is Earl joke years ago or something?
On K-Rod?
Yeah, right. And I said, what? And then he said, I was just telling her about the scene in Million Ways to Die in the West. And he proceeded to act out the entire sequence right there.
He
in
did
front
it for me,
wife.
Too, to the point where I was like, I want to see this movie.
And I was stunned that he knew actually something that I had done. So it was very pleasant. Yeah. But we ended up being pals the whole trip. And almost every night we ended up at the blackjack table together, gambling on the ship. Yeah, we had a blast. Nice guy.
He's a sweetheart. But it's cool to see him fanboy over anything. I've honestly, like, the only things he's ever fanboy about with me are old things. Like, Burt Reynolds would make him happy and shit. Just if you mentioned, be like, yeah, Burt Reynolds. We grew up with Reynolds, didn't we? You know, shit like that. But he fucking fanned out about you. That was adorable. So after the cruise, we were in Florida. You went back here,
I guess. Yeah.
I stuck around, hung out with my mom for a few days.
How is Grace, by the way?
Grace is she's doing great.
I love that.
And then the 3 days after I left, she wound up back in the hospital.
Oh, shit.
So she's there now, but they're trying to get this like mucus out of her chest. And she listens, so mom, get better. Yeah, hear that, mom?
Hear that? My mom's dead. I just wanted a little attention, too. I'm sorry.
Fuck,
just,
man. Welcome to our comedy show, kids.
I didn't want you getting all the reflected mom glory. I wanted a little something for myself.
Fucking the number one rule of comedy, live mothers only.
Oh, okay. She got better.
There you go. Yeah. It's a happy ending.
Dr. Josh Roush, everybody. On the drum kit.
So then I went up to Jersey, did some stuff at some Mod Castle Cinemas, and then I Sunday flew out here because me and Dr. Josh Roush went to UCLA Royce Hall, where they were doing the Editors Awards, the ACE Film Editor Awards. Now, I forget who asked me to do this and shit, but they're like, John Waters is getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. He wants you to present it.
No way.
And I was like, get the fuck out of here. That's touching. I said, all right, I'll do it. In my head, the ACE Film Editors Award is like 12 people in a room.
Right.
Because they were like, oh, it's at UCLA. I was like, can't be that big a deal. You know how big Royce Hall is?
I do.
It's fucking, they packed it.
No
with
way.
A bunch of drunken editors. It was crazy. And a show that, like, you know, should have been maybe an hour, went 6 hours. Could have used a fucking editor. Fucking place was full of them. Nobody helped, man, whatsoever. It was nuts. Like, I got there, and, you know, I was backstage. I was like, they're like, you're going to present to John. I said, yeah, I can't wait. When is that? And they're like, oh, it's toward the end of the show. And I was like, okay. And I thought,
half an hour in, you'd be on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, once I saw that crowd, I was like, this may take a minute. But I didn't think it was going to be fucking 5 hours, man. 5 hours later, I went up and presented. And, Josh, how was I?
Oh, you were fantastic.
Thank you. It was pretty good.
Your check will clear, Josh. Don't worry about it.
Thank you. Yeah. I'd written a piece, and people put shit in, like, you know, what are they called? Teleprompters to look at. But I had written something and just brought my laptop and read it from there. And I ad-libbed at the top, chit-chat, and then did this piece. However, I think that I appeared funnier, you know, or a better presenter than I was because I followed another presenter. So John Waters got the Lifetime Achievement Award as a director. I guess for editors, they gave it to the great Walter Murch, who's 80 years old, and he's cut fucking everything, including Ralph's foreskin when he was born. Like, this fucker, he's a pro cutter. He's cut them all, man. We call him the Moyle. No.
I'll be showing off the director's cut after the show, if you'd like to see. We added a few inches.
Director's cut. So, to present to Walter Murch is a friend of his that he went to film school with, George Lucas.
No.
Yes. So, and I find this out when I'm at the event. I was like, who else is presenting this? Just, this is a lot, awful lot of people here. Who else is presenting this? This one. George Lucas. I was like, that George Lucas? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, are you kidding me? So we were hanging out around outside, and you know, just because it was like busy backstage. And at one point, security came over and they're like, hey. And I was like, oh, hey, man, you want to take a pic? And they're like, because that's generally people approach me, and I'm always, I try to make it easier, be like, hey, let's take a pic. And
right.
So I was like, hey, you want to take a pic? He goes, no, you just can't be here when George Lucas shows up. And we're like, oh, shit, sorry. And we had to move inside.
Move along, fanboy.
Truly. So we're backstage, and you could see him. He's there. Like, and he's within fucking shooting distance, like pew pew.
That's why they asked you to move, Kevin. It's just totally. Comments like that.
So I was like, you know, I've been in this business 30 years, referenced his movies once or twice.
Yeah.
Never met him.
No way.
Never.
Saw him. You got once. Married at his house.
I did. We got married at Skywalker Ranch. We didn't ask permission. Big part of the story. But I did see him at Skywalker. We were mixing a movie, and I had met the producer, Rick McCallum, and he showed me the trailer for The Phantom Menace before it came out. So we were at the commissary to go eat and whatnot. And so me and my crew, I think we were working on Dogma at that point. We were eating at a table. He comes in, Rick McCallum, and then George comes in with him. So, you know, I'm like, gobsmacked and whatnot, and it's like from me to the back of the room, and Rick sees me and he goes like this, and I go like that, and then I make eye contact with George, and I have no choice but to go like that, and then he went like this, and then he goes to Rick, who was that? See him lean over and ask a question. I assume
I nodding to
exactly, and Rick told him, and you could tell by the length of it that it was like. Did you ever see Clerks? So anyway, there's this whole thing about the Death Star. He's that fucking guy. So George looked back and he was like, and then looked at food. So our moment was over and shit like that. He was not like, Silent Bob Gangway. Like he wanted to fucking forget about it and shit and just go back.
What was the special?
He just wanted to go back to singing. Why are there so many?
That's a different guy. Different guy. About rainbows. Same voice, different guy.
So... there I am backstage, and I was like, you know what, man? Like, fucking, come on, man. I'm in this business 30 years. I'm not going to go over and be like, I'm a peer, goddammit. But go over and fucking say hi and shit. He does know who I am.
Right.
To some degree or whatnot. I said, just fucking go over. I wasn't going to be like, oh, fucking Star Wars changed my life and stuff. Instead, I was going to hit him with this thing about, I saw this video he did on YouTube. Incredibly moving, very smart, very wise, about the differences between... pleasure and joy. Hmm. So I was gonna be like, hey man, I saw that video and that was fucking tight and shit like that. So there, I felt like there was my opener.
You're going for the deep cuts.
Yeah, rather than like, you know, everyone could say Star Wars, but I'm like, hey man, joy versus fucking, you know, that's the shit right there, man. That's your Star Wars, brother, you know? So I'm standing back there and I'm about to make the move, but then they come get him because he's gonna go present. And so they're bringing him even closer to where I am. And fucking Dr. Josh will attest to this. This is me standing there watching him go, trying to decide, trying to make the move. I'm going like this.
It was so awkward.
It was like fucking Rain Man dancing.
Uh-oh, George Lucas. Definitely George Lucas. Definitely George Lucas. Uh-oh. And joy that, versus pleasure. Joy versus pleasure. Uh-oh.
And that is the moment he made perfect eye contact with me. As he fucking walked past, and I'm going like... Now, I felt fucking like, oh my God. He went up and presented, and they told us, like, your presentation should be 3 to 5 minutes, max. Mm-hmm. Like, give all the time.
Did they meet you? Did they know who you are?
That's why I wrote it down, because I was like, I've never... I the only thing I could do fucking less than, for shorter than 3 minutes is think about my own death. I cry. So fucking, like, there's no way on earth that I could fucking... I could better write it down. So I wrote it down so I could just, like, knew that it would be like 3-4 minutes max. If I ad-libbed, I'd get to the full 5 and then bring him up and stuff. Maybe I'd throw myself an extra 1 or 2 minutes, yeah, you know, if I'm feeling the room, vibing it out and whatnot. But I'm going to try to stick to the rules. George Lucas got up and gave an intro to Walter Murch that lasted 28 minutes.
No.
28 minutes. And the first 15 minutes of those, I don't think he said Walter Murch once. he told, you know, Steve, it was fun though, because he did say shit like, you know, and Francis, of course, had an idea for an Italian picture.
Wink, wink.
No, that yeah. was it. That was the extent of it and shit. Like, he might as well have been like, Who?
Godfather! Yes. In the back of the room. I know that one.
Someone made him an offer he couldn't refuse. It was like he was working material and shit like that. But he did, like, he went on for a long time.
And he's a scintillating public speaker, too. George really commands a room.
I was in the back of the room calling for encores. I was like, do pleasure versus joy!
Play the hits!
Then do the Emperor's March.
So when you got on stage, they must have been like, woo!
And I was
party clown's finally here. It's like a kid's birthday party when the cake isn't good and like the punch sucks.
The king of filmmakers and now the fucking court jester.
Now we're gonna have a good time.
When I went backstage to present though, he was all done. Walter Murch was done, and so George Lucas did walk past with his wife, and I was standing by the entry where he walked past, and so his wife and I make eye contact. No. I ain't doing that, because I gotta go present soon, so I'm putting on my game face. But his wife looks at me, and I think she must have recognized me or something, because she smiled, or at least she was just being a human being, and she smiled at me and went like that, and I went like that, and then I saw her do this to him. She went, and he looked over and went, and I went, and I was like, oh my God. He fucking kind of sort of waved at me.
He knows I'm alive.
After his wife made him do it. Like, it doesn't matter, man. Like, how many years I'm in this business or how long. No. It's like people who were famous before I entered the business.
The heroes of our childhood will always make you feel like a 10-year-old again when you meet them.
It's crazy, man. And just like as you sat there talking, you're like, dude, literally changed the movie industry. Good or bad, if you ask Jim Jarmusch, he'll say not great. But but like good or bad, he changed the industry. How many people could like say that? How many people took that stage? John Waters was able to say that. John Waters was fucking excellent, man. Oh, my God. We were sitting there talking to him afterwards backstage. And, you know, they fucking liquor everybody up. There's like 18 bars everywhere.
I want to join the editors union.
You really do.
That sounds like a good time.
Apparently, there's one day a year you don't work. You just watch fucking shit go wrong for hours, and you're like, not my problem, and I'm fucking drunk. But Waters backstage was talking to us, and at one point he's just like, you know, I don't understand these young people and their sexual terminology anymore. He's like, you know, back in the day, there was a cock, there was a pussy. He's going, somebody just hit me up about my front hole. He goes, how do you make that dirty? Ooh, fuck my front hole. And I'll be honest with you, it made me a little hard when he said it.
It's kind of hot.
Pretty damn hot. So that was my Sunday.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, not bad. And then today I did one of the most old-timey things I think I've done in a long time. I watched the episode of The X-Files where they shot it like Cops. Do you remember that?
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
As I was watching it, I felt like, oh, my God, it's like the year 2000 again. Like, it took me right to a time and place. It's a clever fucking episode.
They did a bunch of different thematic shows on that series.
I fell down the rabbit hole. They did 10 fucking seasons. 7 is when they come to Los Angeles and shit, and that's when they start. That's where, you know, both Scully and Mulder are like, let's do other things. And two other fucking people come in. They're like, we're the X-Files now. Yeah, and they're like, right. No, you're not. They did that for a little, and then they went away. And then they have brand new season that they did a couple years ago.
Now they're rebooting it.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Without
Chris Carter or any of the original leads, they're bringing it back.
They would
I forget
do that.
Who it is. What? It's a famous guy who's doing Ryan Coogler, right? Yeah, of Creed fame. And
is doing the X-Files?
Yes.
My finger's on the pulse, man.
I know. It's coming right out of my front hole. Gotta believe me.
That's an X-File right there. Front hole, the director's cut.
Yeah, we both drank at the same time. So rare.
It's, you know, we're one of those married couples now that we just we do the same thing. Yeah, Chris Carter said he's not involved in any way, but he met with Ryan and he gave him his blessing and he said, I'll be the biggest cheerleader of this moving forward.
And that is a guy, creator, that is so insanely identified with the franchise.
Gotta be weird for him, right? I'm sure Fox owns it or something, and so he has no say in the matter, but it'd be like someone coming along and doing a Jay and Silent Bob movie and you weren't involved at all and someone else was doing their take on it.
Am I getting paid? Am I making Jay and Silent Bob money or Jay and Silent Bob
money? For the argument of this comparison, let's say no, you're not getting paid. You're just watching it happen.
Oh, my God.
Right?
I mean, I'd be like, don't bother. It didn't work for me. Get paid up front. That'd be weird. I don't know. I don't know if I'd mind that so much. I mean, I think others would because they're like, he still hasn't let it go. Yeah. Like, Chris Carter's like, I moved on and shit. I'm like, not me. Clerks 9, you know. I'll be like, remember how they made a Chucky movie and then the guy who made Chucky also made a Chucky thing at the same time?
Yes.
And people were like, what the fuck, Chuck?
Too many dolls. All right. You want to do a show?
Fuck yeah, man. You guys ready for the show?
You ready for a little Hollywood Babylon?
Happy to be here with everybody.
Thank you, by the way, for selling us out tonight. Again, thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
Awesome.
The evening before fucking Hollywood's biggest night.
Yes.
You got your tuxedo?
I do.
You're going to watch it at home?
In my tuxedo,
yes.
Just the top half, though. No pants.
Oh, fucking, that's hot. Yeah. Bottomless and shit. Just a dickie and a dickie.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to go to, you know, I'm trying to get AM radio rich, right?
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah.
KFI.
Who's here because they heard it on AM radio, by the way?
Yeah!
Oh, wow.
Aha! The power grows.
It's growing.
I guess Oscar Sunday is a shift when nobody wants to work, so they called me up. They're like, do you want to come in? I was like, fuck yeah. So
well,
I'm
a pretty good get, a movie maker on movie's biggest night.
Oh,
see how they're putting it together?
I thought I was getting one over on them. I was like, oh, I'm going to be on the radio. They're like, we're going to get a filmmaker to talk about an award show he's never been at and will never be at until he dies.
Then they'll put you up on the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope, you know what I hope? Like, instead of putting up an image of me, like a slow-mo image of me as Silent Bob or something, I want them to pick a moment from my cinematic oeuvre, from my career. And it would be the moment when in Clerks 2, Kinky Kelly and the Sexy Stud. Just one very specific shot. Not the whole thing. Like, I'm not like, put donkey fucking on the show. I get it. Kids watch, so no. But there's one moment where Zach Knutson, he played the fucking, I'm the Sexy Stud and shit.
Right.
And we pan up his body. And just as we hit to the top of him right here, he holds up his hands. He goes, and he spits like he's going to fucking lube himself up.
Right.
But half of the spit goes off the hand. And it's in this beautiful, like, purple-blue light and shit. That represents
that's
me.
That's the scene?
Yes.
That's the scene you watch?
They show that moment, they'll be like, and that, you know, George Lucas changed film. This guy did that.
Spat on it.
Yeah. I've never been. You ever been to the Oscars?
No.
Like, not for K-Rock or nothing? They didn't set up a booth or some shit?
No. Kimmel was just talking about it because he's the host again, you know. The very first time.
It's tomorrow night.
Yeah.
He's hosted.
Jimmy Kimmel's will be his fifth time, I think. I think he's tying with Johnny Carson. For the fifth hosting gig.
Who's the leader? Got to be Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal and Bob Hope, I think, are tied.
Oh, Bob Hope. I forgot about that cat.
Anyway, he was interviewed recently, and he said his first time at the Oscars was when he was working for K-Rock, and he and Kevin Ryder of the Kevin and Bean Show, they snuck in through the back door. Don't.
That's how everything works in Hollywood, kids.
Of the governor's ball, they went in with the catering staff. They went in, and they had tuxedos on, and they ended up infiltrating the Oscars. He said that was his first time.
Did they record any audio? Or?
I don't think so. I think they just told the story on the air afterwards.
Well, what's your excuse? You were K-Rock for years. You should have snuck in the Oscars.
I didn't have that kind of ambition. I was a much lazier radio guy. I was like, I'll talk about it tomorrow. I'll watch it at home. That's what I did.
You're the radio guy. Right? There are radio guys that sneak into the Oscars, and radio guys are like, what are all the porn stars up to?
Yeah, right. I'll sneak into the AVNs.
Like, you can't sneak into something that's way open. Come on in. Just leave your pants right there. Have you been to the AVNs?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Several times.
Is that where the first time you wore your bottomless tux?
No, the first time it was my assless tux. And then I went bottomless the next
tux.
Time.
Yeah. What's it like?
Good
is
time.
It like the Oscars?
It's very much like the Oscars in the sense that performers who really shouldn't take themselves very seriously. But it's a different vibe because, you know, the girl who wins for best anal scene will be up there thanking her parents for their support.
No,
and stuff.
Yeah. No.
Yes. It's a very weird dynamic.
I got to tell you, I kind of find that a little touching.
Right?
Yeah.
They're people just like us, Kevin.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it begins somewhere. Anal begins somewhere.
That's right. Right next door. So they take...
Were you ever with somebody that won an award?
Well, I dated Ginger Lynn, of course, for a couple of years. She's a Hall of Famer.
Were you there when they Hall of Famed
No,
her?
I wasn't. This was after the fact. No. Sounds like a dirty sex
It
move.
Really does.
So I'm Hall of Faming this chick last night, right? So yes, AVNs, no Oscars. Recap.
Yeah, but still, fucking, yeah, still, pretty sweet. Yeah,
that's more fun.
How many you been?
I went to three.
You're like, I'm tied with Carson.
No, I think Johnny still went to more than I did, quite frankly. Yeah. And it's Vegas. It's fun. It's a good time.
You're like a fucking onion, man. Just layer after layer. You keep peeling. Yeah. You're like, what?
Yeah. If you leave me on the shelf too long, I rot. So that's exactly right. Let's kick things off the way we usually do by saying hello to folks who've come particularly long distances or celebrating special occasions. Tonight, it's a segment we call the Shoutouts.
It's a shout-out with Kevin and Brown, so get your cock out. Yeah. Get your cock out.
Now I know where I remember you from. You were at the AVNs. You won an award that year. Deepest throat.
Ironically.
Yeah. That was his acceptance speech.
Fuck that. I don't make the noise, man. I do it with quiet dignity.
You keep thinking, Butch. That's what you're good at.
Interestingly enough, that is also the way that George Lucas opened for Walter Murch.
Was it really? Louis Perez. Are you here tonight, Louis? Hi.
Hey.
Louie writes, I'm Louie. Well, that's a good way to start. I'll be attending my sixth Hollywood Babylon with my friends David and Anthony.
Six? You're fucking tied with Carson, man. Fucking well done.
We should really get those punch cards like they had at Subway, you know? Where
fucking
hey,
man.
A
hit 10,
of...
you get a set of steak knives?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was hoping
what
to get
would
a...
our gift be?
That's
give
a
that
good
penis
question.
A sandwich.
Yeah, really.
That was old school.
Yeah. I was hoping to get a shout-out for my hetero life mate, David, who was there for me in my darkest moments when I thought I was no longer able to continue.
Which one are you, David?
Which one's David?
There's David. There's Look David. At him. There's a hero. Give him a round of applause.
Yeah. We don't know what he did yet, but
yeah,
I bet you he earned it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, fucking Anthony's like, oh, Jesus Christ. I'm just sitting here with these guys. I'm no hero. Without him, I would not be alive today, writes Louis. Well, I hope that anyone who ever feels like giving up has a David in their lives. Things will pass, and it really does get better.
Amen, David.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Well done, David.
That's a good friend right there. My apologies for a downer of a shout-out. Too fucking late for that, Louis.
Yeah, Ralph already covered that with his mom and shit.
Lead with that. I know this is a comedy show, so with that said, can we please have David's favorite song, I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys, sung by Arnold Schwarzenegger? Thank you for all the free funny.
I gotta be honest, I like this tender relationship.
I do, too.
Thank you.
That's Wait, for me. What are you thanking him for? That's mine. Give me that. Can't fly on one wing.
Gratuity.
What do you need?
Gratuity, please.
All right. I think this is dubious. I don't believe that's really his favorite song. I think you're fucking with him. That's his favorite song, is I Want It That Way by Backstreet Boys.
I have a better song.
And this guy saved your life. Did he do it by playing that song over and over again till you said, fine, I won't fucking kill myself, just stop playing that song. Is that how he convinced you? This is literally your favorite song? I find that hard to believe.
Did you say name a better song? Because I'm with you. I'm like, name a better song, motherfucker.
Tell me why.
All right. Arnold Schwarzenegger is singing David's favorite song. I want it that way.
You are my fire, the one desire, belief. When I say I want it that way, but we are two worlds apart.
You're early. Hold on. He's jumped to
two worlds apart. Can reach to your heart when you say I want it that way.
Everybody,
tell me why. Ain't nothing but a heartache. Ain't nothing but a mistake.
Tell me why.
I never wanna hear you say get to the chopper.
All right, there you go.
I love when the audience sings along. One of my favorite moments, not just of the show, but my entire fucking life.
Wow.
Was one day we've talked about the death of somebody in the band that sang Rocksteady. Remember that song? We began to rock.
Oh, yeah.
So steady. Somebody in that band died, and it prompted like you to be like, oh, that was my end of the night jam. You're like, when that song came on, you were going home from the club, you were going to fuck. And it was like, I was like, what the fuck? But like, you really meant it. And then like, you had a clip and you played it and fucking everybody fucking sang along and you were singing at the top of your lungs. You were so fucking, like you went back there, wherever that was. You know, a sense memory kind of thing. The only thing missing was like,
oh yeah.
We began to rock steady.
That was the rock in Rocksteady. Was
is that what that's about?
No, but it was for me.
Steady rocking all night
exactly.
long.
Exactly, yeah, right.
Hey there, boys and girls. It's your old podcast pal, Ralph, here. Why don't you check out The Ralph Report? That's my daily show, Monday through Friday. You can get an earful of me, and we have a pretty good time. Plus, if you're a Hollywood Babylon fan, and you subscribe at the 3 or 4 star general levels, you can get the entire back catalog of Hollywood Babylon, the past decade of Babylons, for you to listen to at your leisure. Plus, the 4 star tier, they get to watch us record the show live once a week. Plus, there's live stream events, all kinds of goodies. Why don't you go check it out? Go over there at Patreon. Go to patreon.com/TheRalphReport. That's patreon.com/TheRalphReport, or check us out at theralphreport.com.
Karen Zavaleta, is that how you say it? Zavaleta?
Yeah. Karen clapped for herself. That was adorable.
Good for her.
She went, woo!
She deserves it.
That's how it'll be, Karen. You ask David, he'll tell you the same thing.
That's right.
Name a better song.
Rock
did
steady.
You say
Rock
that steady. Or not? You
yes, did.
That's
did,
fucking yeah. legit. Name a better song.
My name's Karen. I'm here with my husband, George, at Hollywood Babylon.
Which one's George? What up, George?
George.
You guys are sitting awfully far apart. No judgment. No judgment.
It's their anniversary tonight. Today's their anniversary.
What one?
11 years together, 3 years married.
So 3 years married and 11.
You can do it.
I'm trying to think, you know how there's like the silver jubilee and stuff like that? Thank you. I believe the third anniversary is the sitting as far apart as possible as you can.
I believe it is. It's the space anniversary.
Spies.
Spies. Soon after we met.
11 years together, 3 married.
Thank you for the recap.
Just wanted to put us right back where we were. In case anyone forgot.
Soon after we met, we had our first date at Hollywood Babylon.
All right, hold on. 11 years ago, minus three. But that don't matter. 11 years ago, where would we have been?
We were at the John Lovitz Theater on Universal City Walk.
We were?
Yeah.
Is that where you saw it? Yeah. You saw the Lovitz?
I took your money. Thank you. And I put it in my pocket.
Did we look different?
Fuck.
Hold on.
Would it have hurt you to say, no, you guys haven't aged a day?
Well, just define different, because different could be thinner. Do we look thinner?
Yeah, you do.
There it is. We look different. That's good enough.
I was looking at pictures of us the other day.
Yeah.
As you do when you've been married a long time.
Yeah.
And I was looking back over the course of our relationship.
Fucking you. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun.
I want it that way.
Name a better song.
Can't. But there was a time at the outset, the beginning of our relationship, where you were obviously much heavier.
Yeah.
You would wear hockey jerseys all the time.
Yeah.
And you wore glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You used to wear glasses.
I just realized I became the hot chick in an 80s movie. I took my glasses off.
That's right. You let your hair down.
I stopped dressing weird, and suddenly, you know, fucking...
Now you're the queen of the prom.
Patrick Dempsey wants to date me.
Exactly. Yeah.
My friend's going to be like, you shit on my house. Deep cuts, man, right there. How come they don't remake that movie? Seems like an easy concept.
Oh, they'll get to it. It's on the list.
Yeah. They have?
Yeah, it was with Nick
Cannon. And they called it Can't Buy Me Love? But same idea. Was it gender flipped? Was he the sexy one?
He was
still the nerd. Nick Cannon.
Nick Cannon was it?
Nick Cannon has 108 children. There's no way.
The film was called Can't Buy Me Contraceptives.
Well, that just means he's a hell of an actor, man. To act like the guy who's
not getting
laid.
Any.
Yeah, holy shit.
But I thought you wore glasses for a long time. I used to see pictures of you wearing glasses all the time.
Yeah.
And then you just took them off.
Yeah.
Nobody just stops wearing glasses.
I
Can
did.
You not see now?
Ralph. <no. laughs> It's weird. I think about that from time to time. And I said something about that to like Jennifer 2 weeks ago or something. And she was just like, you probably never needed them. And I was like, that's not true. Like, I remember driving with Vinny Pereira and like and this is going back even pre-Clerks. And he could see at night, like two lights down the name of the highway and shit. I was like, you could see that? He's like, yeah. I was like, can I use your glasses? I put them on and the world crisped up and shit. So I was like, oh my God, I need glasses. I wore them all the time. And then I started driving and I realized.
And I said, I can see too much.
Yeah. I was like, I don't want to know that much. This should be fun.
I don't want to see it coming.
It was when I stopped driving. It was when Megan, remember Megan?
I do.
So Megan drove for years, and then I needed glasses for distance.
Right.
I was like, oh, I'm going to stop wearing these. And then I never put them back on. Huh. And now I do drive, and I don't. Yeah, I don't. Maybe my eyes healed themselves.
Yeah, because that happens.
I went to the periodontist this week for cleaning.
And he said, your eyes are better?
Yes.
And you said, fuck, I'm at the wrong doctor. Because I read the sign wrong. I meant optometrist.
He's like, maybe put the glasses back on.
Maybe.
No. Fucking modern day.
I need the
modern day Magoo and shit.
Oh, Smith, you've done it again.
Walking along ledges of buildings, fucking just as a crowbar fucking swings, I-beam brings me someplace.
Excuse me, madam. I'm doing a Mr. Magoo impression in 2024.
That's pretty good, though. Laugh. That's pretty good.
That was the great Jim Backus as
that
the
was.
Voice of Mr. Magoo.
Mr. Howell as
That's
well.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, Magoo, you've done it again.
Karen's like, can you get on with my email, please?
It's
my fucking anniversary.
They've been together 11 years. This joke has been going 11 fucking years.
That's right. We have attended many HBO tapings, writes Karen. You both have played a pivotal part in our relationship from the beginning. A couple of years ago, we were able to meet Kevin when he was touring and promoting Clerks 3, and I told him that when my husband and I met, we bonded over him and his movies.
That's not all they told me. They were like, how'd you like to be involved in a threesome?
They didn't say that. You can use your front hole and your back hole.
Front hole.
We are now expecting our first child.
Hey!
Congratulations.
Congrats.
Can we get Karen a drink for me, please? Just anything she wants. Get her a bottle. Since my husband is half German, I was wondering if the Germans can give us some advice on what to expect with our first child, Danke, she writes.
Oh, my God. Karen. Doing the Germans in front of... What do you mean half German? Like, do you have the accent?
Oh, whew. It's like a 23andMe thing, right? It's like
there's a little German in there somewhere. And shit.
He's half German, just this side. just the right arm.
Did you have that loaded in the quiver your whole life?
Nope.
That came out so fast.
That just came to me. I am getting Nick Swords and drunk tonight. That's how drunk I'm getting. That's my plan.
You have some gummies?
Oh, I got it all. Yeah. The Germans, give you advice on your first child. Absolutely. Josh?
There's Batman and Robin and Ralph Malf and Potsie. There's Rudiger and Klaus. They're Germans, not Nazis.
Nine Nazis.
Yeah.
But that was funny what the guy said about that.
Yeah. Yeah, we are half.
Yeah. Congratulations, your first child. That's amazing.
Yeah.
We need more children in this world.
Yeah, kindergarten.
Yes. Yeah, fill all the kindergartens with tiny little partly German children. We love that. Here's the first thing you have to know about your first child. So much poop. Everywhere. Comes out all the time, even more than you feed them, which would seem impossible, and yet they're poop machines. So you
But it's beautiful because they come together and one half and the other half and they make a whole baby.
Yeah, yeah. The front hole, too. That's the best part.
A front hole baby.
A front hole baby. That's what we wish for you.
Sounds so fucking dirty. Sounds German dirty.
Yeah, it does.
Scheiße Essen.
Don't Google German porn. That's the advice for tonight. And on that, we leave you. Auf Wiedersehen!
Auf Wiedersehen!
Auf Wiedersehen!
How far are you guys going to figure out what it is or no?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. 2 months.
2 months.
Right, congratulations.
Man. Everybody, back the fuck up. No wonder he's sitting so far away now.
She's fragile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bobby Friels, are you here, Bobby?
Yes.
Yeah. There we go. She's speaking on your behalf, Bobby. Yes, he's here.
Bobby's name is Bobby Friels, F-R-E-E-L-S.
Yes.
And that's your birth name? Yes. That fucking rocks, man. Because Bobby for real.
Oh.
Bobby for reals.
Sounds like a DJ on an R&B station in the 1970s.
Yeah, or a fucking 80s drug dealer. I need some coke, man. I need to rock steady. Where's Bobby for reals?
My name is Bobby. My girlfriend Jenna and I are coming to see you guys again for Flappers for her birthday. Happy birthday, Jenna.
Hey, happy birthday. How old?
29.
Fucking A, man.
You don't ask a woman her age.
You got your whole life ahead of you, but never fuck me in the mouth. I
front hole.
Front hole. Is that what it meant?
Yeah.
Your mouth is the front hole?
Sure.
But if you're a lady, couldn't that also be a front hole? So is it front hole north and front hole south?
Like the Dakotas? So you think John Waters was referencing his urethra?
I honestly didn't go. I thought the term was funny enough that I didn't think beyond
front hole.
Which hole? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess it could be a mouth.
I guess it could. I think it is.
Let me try. Let me fuck you in your front hole.
That works.
Fucking works right there.
Yeah, it does.
Bobby for real.
Bobby for reals.
And Jenna. Jenna's
and
birthday.
And Jenna, her birthday.
Jenna's right. 29.
Yeah. Okay. Well done.
Thank you.
Jenna recently turned me on to you guys, and I love the show, but she's a huge fan. Thank you so much, Jenna.
You rock.
It rarely works out that way, where the woman in the couple is a bigger fan than the guy.
It's not even so much the woman. It rarely works out that some person liked it first, and like, oh, you got to hear these guys. And they're like, did they just make a Magoo joke? Is this, do they do this from a rest home? What the fuck? Was that Jim Backus?
I can't explain our longevity either, quite frankly. Our first date was watching Clerks 3.
Hey!
And she loves everything you
guys
do.
Third time was the charm, right?
Yeah. She was very sad we missed your recent cruise. Yeah, you did miss out. It was really good. Yeah.
Good time.
Yeah. But it would mean the world to her if you could sing Happy Birthday as Sylvester Stallone. Well, sure, yeah. I don't even need music for this one. Sly's going to do it a cappella. Have you seen the new Sylvester Stallone reality show, the Stallone
I remember
sisters or
when,
family or whatever?
We were talking about it on the show, and you're like, here's some bullshit I'm never going to watch. So?
Every episode. I've watched every episode.
Are you shitting
me? Every single episode.
You hypocritical fuck.
Absolutely. And it's the saddest show you've ever seen.
Oh, so you hate watching.
I hate watching, absolutely.
I thought
but
maybe
Sly
you were into-
is the saddest man in show business. Because his daughter's like, so anyway, we're going here and we're going to buy these things. And then we're going to go, and Mom, we should buy this house in Palm Springs. And he's like, I don't know what's going on with these ladies, you know. And then he goes to like this pizza parlor and sits outside and talks to all of his old friends. Like Pacino shows up. And he's like, you know, we're going to be moving, you know, to Florida. I'm really sad, you know, because we're leaving California and everything. Oh, don't leave then. Stay here. And then John Lovitz shows up out of nowhere.
They know each other?
They're friends.
You know, John is like a long time we've known.
I know. Give me some money.
That's all he says. But it's just sad. He's just, he
I
looks,
heard
he looks
Henry,
beaten down.
Henry Winkler.
Winkler was on recently. Yeah. It's like him, an old Italian guy, sitting in front of a pizza place talking to his friends. Sad. Oh, where were we? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Jenna.
Jenna. Thank you.
19 years old today.
19 years old. That's amazing. You look great for 19, you know? You look like really good, you know what I'm saying? How do we get Bobby Friels out of this equation? That's what I want to know.
Bobby for real sounds like a guy that Rocky's got to fight. In Rocky V.
Guy in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I think he fought Bobby.
Yo, Bobby for reals! Let's go, you and me right now, right? Come on down. Come on down, Bobby for reals.
What are you so afraid of?
I'm afraid of Bobby for reals. He kept hitting me, right? Bobby for reals killed Apollo.
Honestly?
I'm not letting you fight Bobby for reals, Rock.
Come on, Nick. If I don't fight Bobby for reals, no one's going to think I'm a champion, right?
I've been rolling on this for like 2.5 minutes. This may be the best film I've made in years. It's gripping.
Happy birthday to you, all right? Happy birthday to you, sitting next to Bobby for reals, my arch enemy. Happy birthday, dear Jenna. Happy birthday to you. Don't be cheap and greedy.
Happy birthday, Jenna.
All right. Do you know why I do that? Whenever I shoot a video of you and then I shoot the crowd afterwards?
I have no idea.
Number one, I think it's fun for everyone to see themselves later on if you ever watch it on YouTube.
It's not
YouTube
fun for me.
Shit. Number two, just in case somebody commits a crime, I got all the
that's
faces.
A good stuff to turn over to the authorities.
If your wallet goes missing.
Yeah. Face recognition software.
Yeah,
I like that. We also get emails from all around the world. Josh?
Ain't no drag.
Garmin's got an email bag. Kevin's reactions.
That's right. This one is from Jacob Cumner from Queensland, Australia.
No.
It's Cumner. I don't think he'd lie.
Hey, Cumner, get over here. Not again.
Jacob writes, I'm a 30-year-old autistic male from Mackay in Queensland, Australia. Hollywood Babylon has to be my favorite podcast. It has gotten me through some terribly dark times in my life, from two of my biggest breakups to the loss of my job at the newspaper. I wanted to personally thank Kevin for all the books he has written, for all the movies he's made, and giving me a new way of looking at life. And I wanted to say a special thanks to Ralph as I subscribe to The Ralph Report on Patreon. And I thank you. It would be amazing if you could read my email on the show, but I can understand if you can't. I just wanted to give you a huge thank you to all the years of funny you guys have given me. And you guys are heroes and the real Hollywood helpers. You help people more than you know. Jacob, Queensland, Australia.
Fucking A, man.
I just wanted to read that one. We do a lot of funny ones, but... You know, the fact that we can do this stupid, goofy show and it makes a difference in somebody's life even a little bit is the never-ending source of amazement for me.
It tells me that you and me, we're as good as fucking Dave.
I don't know about that.
We're in that Dave club, man.
Saving lives.
Saving lives and shit. Modern day Batman.
Name a better song. That's right.
Name a better song.
Wes Weber writes, congratulations on your engagement, Ralph. Thank you so much. Thank you both for all the free funny. The world needs a regular Hollywood Babylon again. We're trying to do it every month. Do me a personal favor and have Adam West sing It's Raining Men. Okay. Sure, why not? A little music down. Humidity is rising. Barometer's getting low. According to all sources, the street's the place to go. 'Cause tonight, for the first time, just about 10:30, for the first time in history, it's gonna be raining men. It's raining men. Hallelujah, it's raining men. Amen. I'm gonna go out to run and let myself get absolutely soaking wet. It's raining men. Amen. Tall, blonde, dark, lean, rough and tough, and strong and mean. There you go. That's all we got time for. Name a better song.
Yeah. True.
We like folks who send us pictures of stuff they see while traveling, towns that have fucked up names. We never bothered to name this segment, so we call it Your Town's Got a Fucked Up Name. Your town's got a fucked up name. Your town's got a fucked up name. This one is from Nick and Amy Gregory. I met these guys on the cruise. Are you guys here? Where are you?
I'm here. Nick's at
work. Oh, fuck Nick.
Oh, he's doing the 37-hour film festival. Ernie O'Donnell's doing over at Smock Castle Cinemas this weekend. The 37-hour film challenge. You join and make a movie in 37 hours.
Huh.
It's kind of fun.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, Amy's here. After leaving Cruise Askew, Nick and I drove up to Orlando for a few extra days of vacation. Along the way, we came across this beach. While it's not quite a town, it's definitely got a name that has us giggling. Hopefully, it gives you a laugh, too. Here's the little spot they discovered in Florida. Blowing Rocks Preserve. Look at all the things you can't do there. No pets, no photo shoots, no cookouts, no spearfishing, no alcohol, no drones. These rocks are just for blowing, okay? A very specific purpose.
Last time I had to blow for rocks, I reached out to Johnny for real, Bobby for reals.
Bobby for reals!
He's like, you want that rock steady?
Get cock steady.
And it, I was singing, I was like, I began to rock. Steady. Well, you gotta give equal attention. I mean, fucking, Just because I'm doing it like for coke doesn't mean I'm not going to do it right.
You're a professional, damn it. You got standards. While you cry blow somebody.
Cry blow.
Folks send us things.
Cry blow is as dirty as front hole. How about I cry blow you while I fuck your front hole?
We get stuff sent to us all the time that's meant for children, for God's sakes. And when you look at them, you realize these are inappropriate toys.
Not appropriate for girls, not appropriate for boys. What the fuck is that? Inappropriate toys.
Where's Dan? There's Dan Ruiz from Riverside. Dan sent this one in. Hi, Dan.
What were you eating before?
Spaghetti meatball.
I saw it. Like, I was like, did they do ramen here? But it was spaghetti. I should have known by the meatball and the sauce that it wasn't ramen.
It's Italian ramen.
Yeah. It's
Italian ramen is the opponent for Rocky Balboa right after Bobby
after
for Reals.
After Bobby for Reals. Yeah.
I'm not fighting Italian ramen.
The Italian ramen. I am never not calling spaghetti Italian ramen from now on.
Dan sent this one. This is a commercial for, Silly Poopies Hide and Seek is the name of the toy.
Oh.
Let's just roll it. Let's just.
Introducing Silly Poopies Hide and Seek, the new toy that kids love. And here's how to play. Flip the switch on the back of Silly Poopy to the on position. Players will select who is going to hide Silly Poopy first. Let's call that person the hider.
Okay.
The hider searches around the house for the best spot to hide Silly Poopy. Then after placing it in the spot, presses the Silly Poopy button. The hider lets all the other players know that they can start looking for the Silly Poopy. After the players begin their search, they should keep an ear out for the noises Silly Poopy makes.
Excuse me, can somebody please find me?
The first player to find Silly Poopy is the winner. Press Silly Poopy's button to hear the Yippee Yoopee reward song.
Yippee! Silly
oh,
Poopy.
Fuck you.
The player who found Silly Poopy is now the hider for the next round.
Yippee, you found Silly Poopy.
When play is finished, flip the switch to the off position. And that's Silly Poopy's hide and seek from What Do You Mean?
You remember when hide and seek was played by actual children with other children?
Fuck you, that song was fire. Name a better song.
But it used to be kids would play with other kids hide and seek, and now kids have been replaced by plastic shit.
That's where your complaints begin. My biggest complaint is like, what shit has multicolors in it? Unless that kid ate crayons or something. Shouldn't it just be brown? If you're gonna call it poopy, commit. Just make it like shit color.
And instead of making noises, you'd have a horrible stench, and that's how you find it. Like, I found Silly Poopy in mom's lingerie drawer.
Now. If I...
Oh, no, Silly Poopy's not in there.
I was half right. If I took that and turned it into a game that made money, and then we had to do it on this show, and you were like, I was the father of fucking Poopy for reals.
It's a nightmare. Kurt de Heijen is a name, apparently. He's from the Netherlands, so it's a Dutch name, but I'm fucking it up, I'm sure. But Court sent this in. This is a bouncy castle he saw there in Netherlands, and he thinks maybe it could be inappropriate for kids. Can we take a look?
Yeah, looks like that Wonka experience. Fuck.
It's a pirate with a droopy sword.
Droopy cock.
Yeah.
He's looking for a peg boy.
What? That was a thing.
That was a thing, wasn't
it?
Yeah. Historical pirate thing.
And speaking of which, Jacob Edgar from Savannah, Georgia said, I found this in an antique mall in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Well, that makes sense. This is Mickey Mouse. And his beloved dog, Pluto.
Searching for Hershey.
They're on the Hershey Highway, apparently. Did Mickey just rail in his back hole. Just
back hole.
No kid should be subjected to that.
Using his mouse hole to fuck his dog hole.
Alrighty then, Pluto.
Here it comes in your back hole.
If you may, if as long as we clarify that that Mickey is Steamboat Willie,
we're in the clear.
We own that joke.
That's right.
Disney can't say shit.
Nope. We'd like to take a look at folks who left us over the past week, people in the show business who left us too soon, but left behind bodies of work we'll enjoy for many years to come. They're the Tinseltown Stiffs.
And now, another edition of
Tinseltown Stiffs.
They will be missed.
Will indeed. Akira Toriyama has passed away this week. Fans of Japanese manga know him as the creator of Dragon Ball. Died at the age of 68. Got his start in his early 1920s when he started working in manga. Not in the 1920s. In his 20s. His age of the 20s, yes. And in 1984, he created Dragon Ball, which has been regarded as one of the greatest manga of all time. And then, of course, Dragon Ball Z, the series, made it popular around the world, and people still follow the Goku.
He passed from a subdural
hematoma.
Yeah, isn't that like when you get hit on the head?
Usually
something?
That comes from head trauma, yeah. But wow. that's all the answers.
What a legacy have. Left behind.
And just so beloved. That character is just around the world.
Yeah.
Beloved. So sad.
Big bucket of wind.
Chris Mortensen, longtime ESPN NFL analyst, passed away at the age of 72 this week. If you're a football fan, you know his work. He was diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer back in 2016. So he actually got a lot of life more than he expected, quite frankly. But very talented guy. Probably. Mark Dodson, voiceover artist. You may know him as the voice of the Mogwai. Is that how you say the gremlin? Mogwai,
Gizmo.
Right?
Mogwai.
Mogwai.
He was the voice of all the
bright
other
lights,
ones.
Bright lights.
Oh, he didn't
He didn't do Stripe. That was Frank Welker. And I don't think he did Spike either.
Wasn't... Who did the main one?
Frank Welker did Stripe, the main one.
No.
Oh, no. Spike was the main one.
No.
Gizmo
is the
main one.
Howie Mandel.
Howie Mandel did Gizmo, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
And then Spike was done, I think, by Frank Welker. And he did when the group scenes, he did all the voices for all the
Are you in the Frank Welker fan club?
I am. I'm a big fan of his.
You're like, I want for the record, Frank Welker did it.
He is massive. He got his big break, however, not in Gremlins. He earned the Gremlins role because of another voice he did in another feature film.
He's Salacious Crumb.
He was the voice of Salacious Crumb, yeah.
Holy shit, man.
Who would have think of that little character would become as popular as it did from that one scene?
Because you can follow his whole arc in Return of the Jedi. Because you meet him, he's a piece of shit.
Right.
And then in the third act, R2-D2 shocks his ass. And he's like, ah! And we leave him hanging from the ceiling and shit. And then that boat goes down.
Right.
So that motherfucker probably died in a Sarlacc's belly over the course of 10,000 years and shit. He wasn't laughing then. Fuck that Muppet, you know? He didn't lift a finger to fucking help.
No, he did not.
No, and fucking when they put that outfit on Princess Leia, he was like, ah!
That's why you burn, you little dick. And honestly, I made the same noise when I saw her in that outfit, though. So And we lost Steve Lawrence. That may not mean something to a lot of
people. He passed away?
He did, at the age of 88.
Steve and Edie.
Famous duo of Steve and Edie. Sinatra-style singers in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. They worked together. They were a couple, and they were all over. They were omnipresent on television for a while there in our youth.
Absolutely.
But he was also a solo artist. He had a top 10 hit with a song called
Were Gold. They married?
They were, yeah.
They were married. Mm-hmm.
He had a song called Go Away, Little Girl in 1962 that was a top 10 hit.
Donny Osmond did that.
He did. And he was also a pretty good actor, too. He was on Broadway, where he was nominated for a Tony. And perhaps you know him best as Maury Sline, the agent for the Blues Brothers in both Blues Brothers and Blues Brothers 2000. Here's a little bit of Steve Lawrence's work.
Maury, you owe me. We'll play anywhere, anytime, for anybody.
Put us in the Double Up Lounge or the Morgan Park Theater or the Crystal. We always knocked them dead in those joints.
I don't know, boys. I just don't know. Times have changed, you know what I mean? But what are you guys going to do? The same act? You wear the same fakakta suits? You'll scare people away. Don't you guys ever wear blue jeans or jumpsuits like Wayne Cochran or the CC Riders? Huh?
Maury, you gotta come through for us. We need $5,000 fast.
$5,000. Who do you think you are, the Beatles?
88 years old.
Give it up for him, man.
Steve Lawrence.
Big bucket of win.
Go away, little girl.
Realized, like, if I was offered that that role, I would pass because I'd have to take my shirt off.
Mm.
He was fucking, he was way free with it. He's like, look at these nips. These are nips that turned on Edie Gourmet.
Things, mistakes get through to us all the time on television shows and films. People call them bloopers, gaffes, what have you. We call them shit that should not be.
And now for shit we should not see. Here's some shit that should not be.
Today's shit comes from Stephen Quinn in Edinburgh, Scotland. He writes, Jesus. That came out of your front hole.
Sure did.
Steven writes, the movie is Jaws. Can you believe there's a mistake in Jaws? Can
no,
you believe that?
Not at all.
It's true.
Bullshit.
It's true.
If there's any mistake in Jaws, is that they didn't make 40 of them.
No, it's not the mistake.
Should have had a Jaws a year. You know, honestly, like, I'm 53. I'm probably not going to live a long life, but one of my biggest regrets when I'm dying is, like, why didn't they make more Jaws? People are like, what was his last words? They're like, most fucked up thing.
Yeah. Something about more Jaws.
He pluralized Jaws by adding another S.
In a weird way.
How do we represent this in print? What an idiot. How about we just say he went silent, like his character, and right. That's that.
Truth. Name a better movie, indeed.
Truth.
Chief Brody. Here's Chief Brody in his office filling out the death certificate of the first victim in the film Jaws. Let's run the video.
Chief Brody's office. The medical inspector.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Many of you have already caught it.
Now, the fire chief wants you to go over the 4th of July.
Well, they're on a list of all the water activities that the city fathers are planning for today, all right?
Can we put a still up of that scene? He's typing it out for the coroner's office.
As in the office down the corner?
Reporting to the coroner. That's why the shark kept killing people, because Chief Brody was a fucking idiot. The coroner office.
Maybe he was writing The Wire.
It's coroner with an O in there.
That's what he's
Chief
missing.
Brody. That's what he's missing.
You're right. Jaws is a piece of shit.
Right? That's what I'm saying. Complete
Can't
failure
as
a motion
yeah.
picture.
Thank God there were only 4 of them.
That's right. Michael Caine didn't misspell coroner.
No
I
way.
Bet you. Yeah. And we like to take a look at actors.
But back me up. Shouldn't there have been more Jaws?
No, sir. Too many. There were too
Seriously?
Many. Too many Jaws's.
Think about how many like Planet of the Apes there were.
I hear you. Too many Jaws's.
Couldn't have squeezed one more Jaws in there.
Not after 3D.
I think honestly, like that would be my. You don't just hear that all the time?
No, I don't.
I'm walking around, I just hear that. I hope like that'd be amazing if like before he retires, Steven Spielberg's like, you know what? One more Jaws. I think we should fucking chant it at him every chance we get.
Excellent idea,
if
sir.
If anybody sees fucking Steven Spielberg for the next 20 years.
Just scream it at him.
Yeah, one more Jaws. Like, what the fuck?
Right.
When did this become a thing? Why not one more E.T.?
One more
Clerks. Oh, fuck.
Oh, Christ. Let me tell you, 12 more Clerks before I go.
And no one chants that. That's the thing. Yes. No one.
That's coming. Yes. Yeah. Before I leave this world, there will be Moose Jaws.
For those who weren't on the cruise, we did a little staged reading of Moose Jaws on the cruise, and it was so much fun.
I also, I talked about it the other night, I just finished a script, another Jay and Bob script, and it's very, very funny, which I say not like the other ones weren't. This one will deliver. But
right.
It's, you know, the other two are basically carbon copies of each other. Like, they go to Hollywood to stop a movie. They go to Hollywood to stop a movie again.
Right.
We'll do that one more time.
I never had a doubt.
You got to do it in threes. But we're not with this movie. We're going to wait. When Muse's daughter, Logan, she's about to be nine. When she's like, you know, 15, 16, 17, whatever they feel comfortable, then she'll play Harley's daughter, and Harley played Jay's daughter.
Right.
In reboot and yes. shit. Because we think it's important to send our kids to therapy. But I don't want to wait like that long to make a Jay and Bob movie. And I came up with one that I really liked, and so I wrote it. And I think we'll have an announcement to make soon. This is the 30th anniversary.
Oh my goodness.
Of Jay and Silent Bob this year. So it's fucking it's,
Jay and Silent Bob in the front hole.
Yeah, that's gonna be its new title.
Yeah, I bet.
I wrote you a part.
Really?
Oh fuck yeah. He does. He talks in it. This time I gave him a thing to say. Yeah, no, he's nice. Got a lot of lines.
Yeah.
Ralph talks in the 4:30 movie as well, to be fair.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Ralph is fucking hysterical in the 4:30.
I talked my ass off in Yoga Hosers.
It's true. Yeah. Lots and lots. Tell him, not me.
People always remember, like, oh, Kevin didn't give you any lines. Once, everything else, he's given me stuff. So
in one movie, I gave you the whole third act.
You did.
I was like, here, run.
You know how that turned out. You won't make that mistake again, I bet. Speaking of bad acting.
No.
We like to take a look at A-list actors who sometimes don't turn in great performances. They're just human. Sometimes bad acting, though, can go all the way around and become exquisite acting.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
Welcome to the world of exquisite acting with Ralph Garman and Kevin Smith.
All right. I feel a little bad because we're picking on the guy now. Because we were on the ship, we also did a Hollywood Babylon, and he was also our exquisite actor then, too, Al Pacino.
Oh, well. He's had a career of exquisite acting.
This one comes from Dean Madden, who sent this in. This is from a film called The Local Stigmatic. It's from 1990. It was never released in theaters, but you can find it on the Al Pacino box set DVD set. It is Al Pacino... and another actor who play Cockney gamblers who like to bet on dog races.
Oh, he's known for his British accent.
That's the problem. The only purpose this film serves, in my opinion, is to stop people from saying, Al Pacino can do anything. Because when you hear his British accent in this film, you'll realize that he can't.
Then you won't believe this, right? When they went down to the track to take the dog back, it didn't want to go. It didn't want to go. That's what really got me, right? It didn't want to go. I wanted to go down there and kick it to death, right? I saw that dog for what it really was. What? Nothing but a dirty little whippet.
There we go. A dirty little whippet.
I don't think that's British.
Not even close.
Yeah.
There's like a couple words in there.
Whippet.
Whippet.
That one he practiced.
A dirty little whippet.
Whippet. Whippet good.
Just reminds me of that Friends episode where they got the couch on the stairs and they're trying to pivot. Pivot. Time to take a look at all the entertainment news in a segment we call the Showbiz Beat. No.
Yeah.
Give me head.
HBO headlines.
Head,
HBO
give headlines. And give me head.
Too many podcasts, man. I just do too many podcasts. HBO headlines. Starting with armorer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed from the film Rust, found guilty of involuntary manslaughter in the accidental shooting
that
set. Yes, she will be sentenced in April. She faces up to 18 months in prison at a sentencing, so we'll know more soon. Alec Baldwin, however, is still set to face his own manslaughter trial this July, so we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But in terms of this case, I certainly think justice was served, because that's her job, is to make sure the weapons on a set are safe.
It's really sad.
Very sad. I keep thinking every time I read about this story is when we did Red State, and Scotty Props, who was in charge of all the firearms. Every time any one of us had to handle a gun, even if it never fired it, he would come up to you. He would show you the gun. If it was empty, or if there was going to be dummy loads in there, he would show you the loads. And it was just, he went out of his way every single time at every take to make sure that we were all safe. And that was her job. That was her. That was what she had to do.
It's,
sad.
It really is. All of it is just so fucking heartbreaking.
Speaking
and
of
it shouldn't be, man. Like, nobody should die making pretend.
No, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Speaking of sad, Nick Swardson is in the news. I mentioned him earlier. Last week, he was escorted off the stage in Beaver Creek, Colorado, because he was too loaded to perform when he was there at the Performing Arts Center. Kept screaming at the crowd over and over again, "Let's go!"
That was it?
Yeah. They literally had to come
it's
out.
It's not a bad bit. Is that his, well, excuse
no,
me.
It's not a catchphrase.
He's like, let's go.
No. They Sufi literally came out. They took the microphone and they escorted him off the stage.
Oh,
and,
seriously?
Yeah. Nick has since responded. Been a minute to address this. So fucking dumb that this is news with all that's going on in the world. Love my fans. I'm sorry. Edibles, alcohol, and altitude will happen. I'm not the first person to try that combo in Colorado. Good Lord. Shows have been great and will be. Love you. Comedians are humans like everyone, he says. You know what? Being on stage is a job like every other job, too. And if you show up loaded at work, there's going to be consequences.
Yeah, but to be fair, being a comedian or jumping up on stage with a microphone, it's not like people are like, oh, fuck, you better not have a drink because you're operating heavy machinery.
No, it's not like he's an airline pilot or anything, but still people paid good money to come and see a routine. And all the, let's go, is not a routine.
I don't know. I think I'm ready to give you $10. I thought that was very funny. Edibles, I think, is the more to blame than anything else.
Worst night of my life was that night we did Hollywood Babylon, and someone brought that juice in. Remember that?
Oh
had,
my God, yes! And it lasted a
and
while.
I said, "Oh, I'll take some of that." I was like,
"Took a huge swig," and they were like, "That's 1,000 THC."
No, you're supposed to have like a little sip, and I was like, "Oh, fuck." And by the end of the show, I was losing my mind.
Yes,
I
remember.
Panic stricken. It
was
horrible.
You were fucking, if you were pouring out of your own front hole.
I was. Reboots, remakes in the news, of course. Ben Affleck returning to The Accountant 2.
Is that right? They're making a
just
sequel?
In time for tax season. I never saw the first one. Was it good?
People love it.
Yeah,
it's good. It's good.
Affleck, John Bernthal, J.K. Simmons, they're all returning for The Accountant 2. In this film, Ben plays an accountant who has autism, and he also works for criminal organizations.
Yeah, he's,
like
he's,
they do.
Yeah.
Like
he's, his character's like you, an onion, many layers.
Yes. And then he goes to Dunkin' Donuts.
Or as he probably calls it, the bank.
That's right. Baywatch is being rebooted as well. It's going to be on Fox. Way to revitalize terrestrial television, Fox, is to bring back Baywatch.
Yeah, they're like, you know what will bring people back to the TV? Jiggle.
Yeah, swimsuits.
They can't get that on the internet.
No, where are they going to find sand?
Dune.
Good point. Excellent point. Tim Allen's returning to television as well. He's going to be on ABC. He just got a comedy pilot that sold called Shifting Gears. Where he plays a stubborn, widowed owner of a classic car restoration shop. But when Matt's estranged daughter and her teenage kids move into his house, then the real restoration begins.
And Wilson.
And credits. Jake Paul, influencer, is going to be fighting Mike Tyson in a live boxing event on Netflix.
Are you serious?
Yes. This is the very first live boxing event on Netflix.
And he's the Paul that has been fighting.
Yes. His brother fights too, I think. He wrestles.
So is this an exhibition match or a real fight?
It's a real fight between them. I don't think there's anything on the line other than perhaps some money.
Money.
It's a live murder. I fucking hope so.
One guy is 30 years older than the other guy.
Yes, Jake Paul's 27, Mike Tyson is 57, and I hope Mike Tyson murders him.
What?
Literally murders him.
What's your beef?
He's just a relentless douchebag, this right. Jake Paul. He's just a cunt on every possible level. And I'm no Mike Tyson fan. I mean, he's got his own, you know, tattoos. Problems with the law and everything. Yeah. And he does eat people and sexually assault them.
Eat people.
But sometimes it's like Suicide Squad, you know? You got to bring the bad guys out to set them against worse guys. And then put a little chip in the back of Mike Tyson's head so if things go wrong, we can explode his brain. That was in that movie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we're all wishing death for Jake Paul.
When is that happening?
It's happening on July 20th. It's going to take place at AT&T Stadium in Texas. That's where the Cowboys play. It's a big joint.
And it's Netflix?
Netflix, live on Netflix. You don't have to pay for it or nothing. You can just watch it on Netflix.
Oh, I'll be sure to do that.
Here's hoping. Only Murders in the Building, Season 4, gets another cast member. Kumail Nanjiani has been added to the cast.
Kumail.
Very funny, talented guy. Good cast so far.
Built, too, now. He's fucking... Remember?
He yeah, he's shredded for shredded that for, Marvel movie no one went to.
Had an ironic
one
title.
That's not Madam Web.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other one. Molly Shannon, Eva Longoria, and Eugene Levy will all be on hand as well. I can't wait. Eugene Levy just got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this
Did he?
Week. Yeah.
Took a minute.
How cool is it, though, that a lot of these guys, Martin Short, his good friend from SCTV, Steve Martin, Eugene Levy, are doing this some of the best work of their lives this late in their career and lives. It's encouraging.
Gives you hope, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. My life may not be over after
That's
all.
That's true. The best may be yet to come.
Speaking of Steve, Steve Martin is going to have a documentary about his life on Apple TV+.
Let me tell you, if there's anybody who deserves a documentary that hasn't probably had one yet, and I don't think he has
he hasn't
one. He's led a fascinating fucking life, and we all know him, of course, nowadays from, you know, like, shit, think about how many errors this motherfucker, he's had more errors than fucking Taylor Swift, because there was a whole fucking, like, I make all the Disney PG-13 movie era.
Yeah, he was a family-friendly comedian,
family-friendly guy, but then of course there's the Only Murders era, but for us, he was the wild and crazy guy.
King of stand-up.
This motherfucker would fill, like, he was one of the first comedians to fill arenas.
Yes.
And, like, what was it? The Universal Amphitheater, just over the hill.
Which where he recorded his album.
Where he did that album. It was amazing. I was, one of my favorite jokes as a kid was from that album. He's in front of, like, you know, fucking massive crowd. And he's like, you know, I met this girl the other night and she brought me home to her apartment. And she had the biggest pussy. And the audience is like, wah! And he's like, oh, come on. I was talking about her cat. He's like, you can't just do that. You've been talking about a lady's cat. You guys are filthy. And he waits the perfect amount of time. And then he goes, that cat was the best fuck I ever had.
Yes.
It was a 1978 joke, man. So, yeah, I will watch the fuck out of any Steve Martin documentary.
I got my father to take me to see him when I was 12 years old.
Oh, shit.
At the Latin
Casino. Did he have white hair then, too?
Yeah. The Latin Casino in New Jersey, right across the bridge from Philadelphia. And my father had to take me. And I was there with an arrow through my head.
Oh, shit.
And almost everyone else in line had either bunny ears or an arrow through their heads. And my father looked around and said, what the hell is this? He had no idea. But afterwards, he was a fan. And that's why he crossed over to so many different generations.
It was legit fun. He fucking had King Tut was a massive
number
song.
One song, yeah.
And the dude's like legit good at playing the banjo.
Here's a trailer for Apple TV Plus's documentary, Steve! !! Martin.
And if you bought my album and you came down here expecting me to do a lot of routines from the record and I didn't do them,
well, excuse me!
This guy was getting people so happy.
I always thought, this just does not happen. And it did.
He's the most idolized comedian ever.
He reinvented stand-up.
It was a cultural phenomenon.
Good evening and welcome. My name is Steve Martin.
Steve Martin.
I am a wild and crazy.
What he was doing was unique. It was chancy.
I always thought of him as the door out of the 60s. You could be silly again.
Steve!
All comedy was political. And I felt that it was time to change that.
Steve Martin has just taken the big leap onto the big screen.
I was launched into the stratosphere. I was scared out of my mind.
You better pull yourself together. You've got a big movie offer.
Being able to witness an artist reinvent himself is quite extraordinary.
And the people who like it are wise and intelligent people, and the people who don't like it are ignorant scum.
Right. Yeah.
There is a longing at the center of everybody he shows us.
Glad you're not filming this because it'd be so embarrassing.
Why don't I interview you as we're driving?
It's called biking, but sure.
My whole life is backwards. How did I go from riddled with anxiety in my 30s to 75 and really happy?
How did this happen?
Don't you have a score of servants take your laundry over?
Actually, I'm just doing this for camera. It's the first time in 27 years.
His relationship with Martin Short just makes me happy, those two guys together.
And they only met on Three Amigos.
First time they ever met. Yeah. And they became lifelong friends after that. From the best in show business to Justin Bieber.
Oh, shit. Justin Bieber. Nobody fucking needs ya. You wanna know why? I'll tell you why. Cause you're a little cunt. That's right. Name a better song.
Name a better song, indeed. Justin Bieber's fans are finally turning on him, and it just couldn't be sooner. He released a big announcement on social media this week, and everybody was like, yes, finally, we get more Justin Bieber music. He hasn't made new music in years.
Is that right?
This is our Justin Bieber's coming back to us. No, he was selling a new guided prayer app to be downloaded, the Church Home app. Join me in guided prayers, he said when he released it. And the fans went, are you fucking kidding me? Really?
He's selling him Jesus?
He's selling Jesus. First Marky Wahlberg, and now this guy wants me to pray with him.
What do you mean?
Mark Wahlberg's also selling an app for prayer. Him and Jesus.
Seriously?
Yeah, you haven't seen the commercial? He's like, download this app. We'll all pray together. Say hi to your mother for me. Fucking unbelievable. So the fans are revolting. Well, they are in general, but I'm...
We should get in on this. What about... How come we don't have a Jesus app? Our app, can you, like, you open it up, it's an icon, is Buddy Christ doing this shit.
Yeah.
And when you press it, it's just one of us going, Jesus. And anytime you see something fucked up in the world, you're like, God damn it, hold on. Jesus.
Jesus, man.
Yeah.
Time to take a look at the world of geek news.
Ralph and Kevin, Ralph and Kevin, Ralph and Kev. Geek news.
We have a new Perry White. James Gunn has announced the casting of Wendell Pierce as Perry White in the new Superman movie. Yeah. Great actor. He's good.
Yeah, he's
amazing. Yeah, it's a good choice. I think he's going to do well. Perry White, of course, has been part of the Superman mythos since 1940. He was introduced on the radio show.
Yeah, not created for the comics.
There was no Perry White in the comics until the radio show. Same with Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah.
Same with Kryptonite. That radio show owes a lot to the...
Or DC owes a lot to that radio show.
To the mythos
show, yeah.
Of that thing. James Gunn is being very transparent with production of this film. Almost, some would say, too much. He's giving a lot of information to the fans. I guess that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. Honestly, it is a good thing because you need to thread the needle for Superman.
That's
because
true.
Because we've had a Superman within recent years.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're like, look, this is a Superman where he's nice and he likes people. And he
kills almost no one.
Yeah, so they've got, like, they need a lot of runway in order to sell folks on Superman again. Not that I think you can sell people on Superman, but I think it's going to take a minute.
Gunn was working in Norway this week, and he released a statement saying they're shooting the Fortress of Solitude scenes first.
He is sharing.
Yeah.
We could have figured that out. The moment he said Norway, I was sitting there going, oh,
it's like, we have filmed the first scenes in Svalbard. I'm assuming that's a place in Norway and not a hooker.
It'd be amazing to shot a whole scene inside Svalbard.
We show Superman fleeing to the Fortress of Solitude. We wanted a place that was beautiful and felt like being in the middle of the Arctic, so we looked several places in the world, but there were many things that sold Svalbard for us over the other places. So he's working in Svalbard.
I like that he's feeding people info about the making of the movie.
You were very transparent with your fans when you work, and I think it actually gets people.
Well, I'm actually selling. I got to convince people to come see my shit.
That's true.
He just has to be like, hey, man, fucking, here's Lex Luthor. It's the fucking guy who played the Beast and fucking Chrome and shit like that. It's fucking, it's about a boy. It's about Lex Luthor.
Right.
Nick Holt, that's it.
So yeah,
it took me a while. I was struggling. Yeah.
And if you went to see Dune Part 2 and you got yourself one of those Fleshlight popcorn buckets?
No. Here's a fucking important public safety tip. Wash it.
Yeah.
Don't just let it build up down there. It'll attract ants.
Clean
you don't
it
want
out
that.
Once in a while. Yeah, for clean God's it. Sakes. The more you know.
Who left a lot of cum in his own Dune popcorn bucket.
And take the popcorn out if there's any left in there.
That makes it feel good.
If you got the popcorn bucket at AMC there, the special deal, hold on to it because they're going like for big number on eBay.
They're selling like Fleshlights.
The secondary market, yes. One listing on eBay this week, $138 for an empty popcorn bucket. Can't go wrong with that.
Did you see for Ghostbusters they're doing the trap, the ghost trap that they would slide out.
Full of popcorn?
So that's the base, and then it opens like this as if like it's radiating light to capture the ghost, and that is I'm going out. That's filled with popcorn, and then they're also doing a tin of the firehouse at one of the other movie theaters.
That sounds awesome.
This is becoming a huge thing, man.
Genius.
Yeah, it really is.
You spend $25 for a buck for some popcorn and a soda. And you get to keep a Fleshlight in this case.
And you get to fuck it after
you get
you're
to
done.
Fuck it later.
But to be fair, you could always fuck a popcorn bucket.
Just, I suppose. But this is obviously made for that purpose, which I think is special. They should make them all fuckable moving forward, I think. But how are you going to compete with this kind of marketing? You
the
know
Dune one makes sense, though, because you're like, the sleeper has awoken. Mwadiv, the Quetzalcoatl. That's what I say when I come. I'm like, Quidzak Sadada. More deep.
Speaking of cocks, we got one last bit of business before we say goodnight, boys and girls. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, man, did you have a good time so far? We're about to bring this creaky little flight in for a landing, folks.
Yeah, buckle up. Every week, folks send us in facts about our favorite actor's penis. Liam Neeson's cock is legendarily large. You can also add your facts. Just send them in to hbopodcast@aol.com.
For reals?
For reals.
Bobby, for reals?
Let's find out how big Liam Neeson's cock is.
Oh, we can't help but wonder.
Wie groß ist im Leben Neeson's Penis?
Went right into my nuts, too.
Just fucking
bang! Liam Neeson's cock is so bruised. It's so bruised that I gotta go.
Name a better cock.
Name a better cock. Than mine? Lots.
Liam Neeson's cock is so big.
How big is it?
When Liam plays hockey, he wears the Stanley Cup.
That's fucking good.
Right?
That's clever.
We've been doing towards the playoffs.
We've been doing the show 12, 13 years. Took that long. That's
I
a
know.
Good joke.
I know. Liam Neeson's cock is so big.
How big is it?
James Gunn has cast it as the Fortress of Solitude.
Svalbard.
That means penis in Norwegian.
Yes. It's in penis.
Liam Neeson's cock is so big.
How big is it?
I don't know what this means, but it made me laugh. Liam had to take away its credit card.
Just stop it from charging?
Yeah, just running up huge bills with, with penis expenses.
Give that penis a credit card.
That's right. Liam Neeson's cock is so big.
How big is it?
Jake Paul refuses to face it in the boxing ring. And lastly, Liam Neeson's cock is so big.
How big is it?
CNN carried Liam's State of the Penis address live.
Ladies and gentlemen of Burbank, have you had a good time this evening?
Thank you so much for coming out tonight. We truly appreciate it.
Can't thank you enough for being here, but there is no show without the man to my left. Give it up for Mr. Ralph fucking Garman.
And let's hear it for my bestest Babble brother and buddy, Mr. Kevin Smith.
And that is Hollywood Babylon for this week. I'm Kevin Smith.
I'm Ralph Garman.
Babble the fuck off. Good night, Burbank!
Give it up for Ralph Garman and Kevin Smith.
This has been a Smodco Internet production. Sip. Only at Smodcast.com.